There were three of our guests who were here for the first time. Nice lady in the back and both of you. Have you ever heard of Vrindavan before? Vrindavan. Have you heard of Vrindavan before? It's a very special place. Vrindavan is where Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. We say that every year. 5,000 years ago. Krishna appeared in Vrindavan. And who is Krishna? Krishna is a name of God the Father, just like in Christianity. Christ is the name of the Son. And he taught, God the Father hath sent me. So Krishna is the one who sent him. Krishna is God the Father. And Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. So I'd like to take you all to Vrindavan. So we have a jet waiting in the backyard. All right. And that jet is Shabda Brahman, the spiritual sound vibration. Because the sound vibration, Krishna, and the person, Krishna, are non-different. Isn't that nice? If you could just think of your best friend and say, Frank, Jim, Peter, or over here, Susie, and Jane, and Nancy. And you just say that name and the person's there. Wouldn't that be nice? But in the material world, the name and the object named are different. That's like water, 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 water. And the quenching of your thirst by drinking water, they're different. The name and the object are different. But in the spiritual world, abhinatvam nama namino, there's a non-difference between the name and the object named. Nama namino. They're non-different. And the place where Krishna resides, that's also non-different from him. Very special place. And one can go there by sound vibration. And I brought with me in my little shoulder bag some sound vibrations in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's recorded sound, but it works. And when you vibrate that sound vibration, one can go to the place just through sound. You don't need a 747. You don't need a visa. You don't need a passport. You don't need security. You don't need jet lag. You don't need any of that. You just shabda, go there through spiritual sound. So I thought, let's go to Vrindavan this evening. In fact, let's go to the forest of Vrindavan where Krishna is herding the cows. Would you like to go? Yes. Okay. And while you're making up your mind, if you're not sure, we'll go there. Fasten your seatbelt. The plane's taking off. This is Canto 10, Chapter 22, and the chapter is the prelude to Krishna's interaction with the wives of the brahmanas, the yagyic brahmanas, the ritualistic priests. So we'll make the connection between what Krishna says and does and with that pastime. Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, surrounded by his cowherd friends and accompanied by his elder brother, where's Madhava? Balaram. He's sleeping, okay. Surprised you didn't wake up hearing Balaram's name. He's a Balaram Bhakta. I was visiting Vibhu Chaitanya's home and he came out with a turban and bangles and a peacock feather. I said, oh, are you Krishna? He said, no, I'm Balaram. Balaram. I'm Balaram. Right? All day long he's Balaram. Okay. So they all went a great distance, deep into the forest, away from Vrindavan town, herding the cows. Then it becomes midday. When the sun's heat became intense, Lord Krishna saw that the trees were acting as umbrellas by shading him. And thus he spoke as follows to his boyfriends. Lord Krishna said, O Stoka Krishna and Angshu, O Shridam, Subal, and Arjuna, O Jasvi, Deva Prasta, Varotapa, just see these greatly fortunate trees whose lives are completely dedicated to the benefit of others. Even while tolerating the wind, rain, heat, and snow, they protect us from these elements. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their births are successful. Their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. These trees fulfill one's desires with their leaves, their flowers, and their fruits, their shade, roots, bark, and wood, and also their fragrance, sap, ashes, pulp, and shoots. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. We're going to come back to that verse. Thus, moving among the trees whose branches were bent low by their abundance of twigs, fruits, flowers, and leaves, Lord Krishna came to the river Jamuna. The cowherd boys let the cows drink the clear, cool, and wholesome water of the Jamuna. O King Parikshit, the cowherd boys themselves also drank that sweet water to their full satisfaction. And in the next verse they get hungry. And in the next verse they ask Krishna, we're hungry. We're off in the forest and we're hungry. What should we do? Please do something. So Krishna says, very nearby, there's a big sacrificial ceremony, a yajna being performed by brahmanas. Go there. Use my name. You know how you say, you can invoke my name. Say Krishna sent you. And ask them for something. For me and for Balaram. And what happened? They didn't give them the time of day. They didn't even talk to them. They didn't even acknowledge their presence. Because they were too busy with their very important work. performing a yajna for the satisfaction of the Supreme, who was saying that he was hungry. Of course, the Supreme isn't hungry, but he was saying that he was hungry, so they could fulfill the purpose of their yajna. They didn't even say, get out of here. You know, take a hike, get lost. They didn't say anything. Just ignored them. So the coward boys came back. They were very upset. Krishna didn't even acknowledge our presence. Krishna smiled knowingly. And Krishna said, don't worry. Go to the wives of the brahmanas and say the same thing. Krishna has sent me. Us. We're hungry. Can you provide something for us to eat? They're little boys. Any decent person is going to do something to help little boys that are hungry. Nice boys. Immediately they stopped everything. And just like the gopis, literally, just like the gopis, they prepared themselves and went running with ample offerings to satisfy Krishna. And when Krishna spoke with them, the very same words that Krishna spoke to the gopis, he spoke to the wives of the brahmanas. He said, this isn't very good. You've left your duties. You come in the forest. You can leave your offerings and you should go back now and be satisfied that you've rendered some service. That's not what they wanted to hear. Because they had deep affection for Krishna. And this was now their opportunity. He had called them to associate with Krishna. And he told them, just be satisfied with the offerings that you have made. Be satisfied with your own devotion. So they stood motionless for some time and they returned. And Krishna explained to his cowherd boyfriends, just see, the devotion of these women, they're not learned. They're not, in that sense, elevated personalities, their worldly distinction, like trees, aren't normally thought of as very elevated entities. They're just trees. They're just standing there for a long time. But from Krishna's perspective, they're very wonderful because of their disposition of simply wanting to serve others. What to speak of Sir Krishna? And even when we're serving others, the thought should be they're parts and parcels of Krishna. So some service to Krishna by serving others. This very same verse is referred to in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Those of you that are here for the first time, you know, I'm going to say some words you don't know what they mean, but just try to get the drift. There's a book that's written describing the life of Lord Chaitanya, who was a great devotee of Krishna. In fact, he was Krishna showing how to be a devotee of Krishna. That's pretty deep, but that's what he was doing. And in that biography of Lord Chaitanya's life, it describes his mercy, his great benevolence upon all, indiscriminate of qualified, unqualified, fit to receive, not fit to receive. He made no such distinction. He, Lord Chaitanya, and his associates, like Gadadhar Pandit, who were observing his appearance day next Wednesday, and the members of the Panchatattva, they went to the storehouse of love of God. It's a great treasury. The storehouse of love of God. And they opened up the storehouse and began eating the contents. And Lord Chaitanya began to consider, there's so much here, I can't possibly eat it all. Let's distribute it. And as they began distributing it, something very amazing happened. The contents started to increase. So they distributed more, and the contents increased. And Lord Chaitanya thought, alone, we can't possibly distribute all the contents. We're going to need many persons to help us distribute the contents. In that context comes one of the most famous verses in the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The verse where it says, and I'll pause for a moment, I see in the audience some persons who took birth in India. Phew. There are some children of those who took birth in India, and you count too. You may have taken birth in America? You were born in America?
No.
No? You were born in India? Okay, well you're in this category. You were born in America, right? Yeah, you and... Yeah. You count too. We don't count, but you count. In the verse, Lord Chaitanya said, Bharata Bhumite, Bharata, in the land of Bharat, or in India, Bharata Bhumite, Bhumi means earth, Bharata Bhumite Hoila, Manusha Janma Jar. Manusha Janma, it's important. It doesn't count the trees, the dogs, the birds, the fish, reptiles, and amphibians. It's human beings. Manusha, Manusha, not Manusha, Manusha Janma Jar. Janma Sarka Kari Kara Para Upakar. Even sounds nice. If you don't know the meaning, it sounds nice. Janma Sartaka Kari Karapara Upakar, which means that those of you who have taken birth in India, or are children of those who took birth in India, you count too. It's your duty. It's your duty. Lord Chaitanya has, Prabhupada quoted this verse hundreds and hundreds of times. It's your duty to assist Lord Chaitanya in distributing the contents of love of Godhead, the contents of the treasure house, the storehouse of love of God. So Prabhupada would sometimes say, it's your duty, but you're not doing it. So I have my Western American European disciples, they're doing it, but you should be doing it. You should be doing it. And it's not, you know, it's a serious thing. It's Lord Chaitanya wants to distribute the contents of the storehouse of love of God all over the world, not just this place or that place. Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janmajara. Right after that verse comes this one, the one that we just read. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence and words. It's a common thing in all religious teachings, even aside from religious teaching, like social activism on college campuses today. Social activism it's a buzz. It's what young people, a recent survey was done, both in Europe and in America, asking entering freshmen in colleges in Europe and colleges in America, kind of a broad spectrum of types of colleges, what are the main considerations you're taking in deciding what occupation, what career you're going to prepare yourself for? And the universal answer, Europe and America, is where I can, my occupation will make a difference in the quality of life for the people of this world. I mean, the unspoken part is our previous generation, they didn't do a good job. They made a mess of this planet Earth, exploiting the resources of Earth in order to build this big economy. And they left us with this, you know, stick of dynamite with the fuse burning. So we don't want to repeat that. We want to... social activism. That's the name that it's called. You know, make a difference for the quality of life on this planet. I'll do my little part. That's, you know, all these different phrases. And I've experimented with people, young people that I'm meeting for the first time. Oh, you're going to college. What's the main, you know, in front of their parents, what's the consideration that you, when, and it's not just American, it's Indian young people too. What's that? What's the main thing that you want, you're thinking about? Is it how much money you make, or is it, or what is it? You know, you can give them the multiple choice or fill in the blank, and it's the same answer. Make a difference. Now let's take it to the Vrindavan platform, where you're using your pranayar, artayar, dhyavacha. Pranayar is your life. Artayar, arta, wealth. Dhyā, your intelligence. Or vācha, your words. The resources that God has given you, use them for the benefit of others. Etāvaj, so for those of you that are new, just bear with me, I'm going to go through the Sanskrit a little bit, because lots of people here have that awareness. Etāvaj janma sāphalyam. Etāvaj, up to this, janma sāphalyam, perfection of your life. Because Krishna is speaking this in relation to the trees, and saying, as the trees do, perfected souls also do. So up to this perfection, what's that perfection? Where the previous verse is, whoever goes to a tree is never disappointed. Whatever they want, the tree will supply. And a saintly person is the same. Whoever may come to that saintly person, they'll never will go away disappointed, because the saintly person will supply. Of course, the saintly person's supply may not be what the person had in their mind, you know, I want, you know, something material. And the saintly person may give them something better than something material. But they're service-minded. They're not thinking, I'm up here, you're down there, so like the yogic brahmanas, go away. You're disturbing our yajna. Come back afterwards, we'll talk to you. Take a hike. Not like that. The saintly person is like the wives of the brahmanas. Some service for Krishna immediately. Krishna wants something immediately. Immediately. No, let me think about it. Come back later. I'll let you know. Immediately. Because Krishna wants it. Dehinam iha dehishu. Deha means body. So, for those living beings that have bodies, that's most of us, There may be some ghosts and spirits floating around, but the rest of us are embodied. Dehinam iha dehishu. For the benefit of those also who have bodies. We use our bodies for the service of those who have bodies. We use our words for those who have ears. We use our life for those that have life. We use our wealth for those that need some wealth. Without, here's a fit candidate, here's not a fit candidate. With a spiritual conception of how to properly use each of these things. And then the last line is, Shreya Acharanam Sada. So in Prabhupada's purport, where this is addressed, he focuses on the word Shreya. Any ladies here, or women, girls, that are named Shreya? Any Shreyas here? No Shreyas here today. Okay. Shreya means ultimate benefit, ultimate good. There's another word, prayas. And prayas means immediate gratification, like sense gratification. The impulse is there, you do it. Don't think consequences, don't worry about it. If it feels good, do it. Or just do it. Impulse, action. No, what are the consequences? Is this really beneficial for me or for others? Just do it. That's prayas. And shreyas is considering the ultimate long-term benefit of others as well as oneself. Considering shreya acharanam. Achar means activity. Like acharya. Srila Prabhupada is our founder, acharya. Because he taught us by his example, his achar. He showed the way. Not just by what he said, but his life. He showed us, this is how you do it. So shreya acharanam. Sada. Sada means always. Like not sometimes, but always. That's how Krishna is describing trees. And how Krishna is describing how we should be. Now normally people aren't compared to trees. Like, be a good tree. But Krishna is using that example, and Lord Chaitanya also uses the same example. Interesting, isn't it? Trinadapi suni jena toror ivasahishnuna amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari. That's a verse that Lord Chaitanya is teaching how to chant the holy name of Krishna, just like we've been doing a whole bunch here. How to chant the holy name of Krishna where there's experience, direct experience and taste for Krishna. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avi. Where we can directly experience Krishna. And that's taste. So Lord Chaitanya similarly uses this comparison, like a tree. Toror eva. Toror means tree. Toror eva sahishnuna. One should be more tolerant than a tree. Just like Krishna is describing, the tree stands there. Here comes the scorching heat. And he stands there so that people can get some shade. Here comes the snow. He stands there so you can get free from the snow or the rain. Krishna and Sudama, they took shelter under a tree when they were doing some service for their teacher, Sandipani Muni, and went to get wood for the yajna and ingredients for the yajna in a big storm. They took shelter under a tree. Krishna appreciates trees. He appreciates persons, similarly, who, their life, their wealth, their intelligence, their words, are simply for service to others. And this service to others is Shreya, of the ultimate benefit to others. Such persons, their lives are perfect. And I'll say one other thing about this verse. I once heard Srila Prabhupada give a class where he also made reference to this verse in the following way. He said, when we're conducting our the taking the message of Lord Chaitanya to others, reaching out to others and presenting this teaching, how do we evaluate, is that effective? And he quoted this verse. One way that we can see whether or not it's effective is people who receive it, if we present it nicely, people will give their lives. I'm one, just meeting Prabhupada. It was over. I gave my life. I'm very happy I gave my life. I'm very happy he came and showered some mercy, and I gave my life. And many others similar. So there's a nice measure. Persons give their life to these teachings. But some persons may not be prepared to give their life. They may give some of their wealth to, in a charitable way, assist the distribution of this wonderful message to others and to ensure that it goes on in a pure way. Or someone else may have some ability or some intelligence to do a particular task, and they can do that as a service to Krishna. But at least vacha, words should be spoken where there's some appreciation. Oh, the Hare Krishnas are nice. Or this message is very nice. Or the kirtan is very nice. Or the books are very nice. The qualities of this person who I just met, they're very nice. Just that appreciation, they make advancement in spiritual life. And we can say the opposite. If through our interaction with someone, the words spoken are the opposite, then it's a disservice unto others. So we should be careful. Be good representatives of Lord Chaitanya, so that through that, and what's the measure? So that persons may give their life, or they give their financial assistance, or give their intelligence and their ability, or give their words of appreciation to this teaching and the process and the devotees themselves. And by so doing, their spiritual advancement. Our service unto them has been successful thereby. This devotional practice is something that everyone can take part in, up to the most elevated personalities on the topmost stage of spiritual realization, down to the very beginning persons, and everyone in between. And all you have to do is be human, manusha janma, receive birth in the human form of life, and receive the mercy that Lord Chaitanya gave, and then give that to others. And that mercy, very simple form of it, is the chanting of the holy name. So we hear the chanting and we repeat the chanting. I was going to end, but I'll tell a little story. Some of you have heard this story before, but it's a nice story. In our temple in New York, one of the temples that Radha Govinda were worshipped in was in downtown, well, it was an Italian neighborhood in Brooklyn, a heavy Italian neighborhood, and so heavy that, well, people wanted to make sure that they had all the parking places on the street, and if we left our cars out on the street overnight, in the morning there'd be cinders. The message was, don't leave your car on the street. That's our parking space. That was how they communicated. So we rented a space to park our cars and didn't leave our cars on the street anymore. Or if we had kirtan and it was too loud, they threw stones through the window. Sometimes they threw a Molotov cocktail through the window that says, you know, keep the noise level down. That was the neighborhood. So we kept, you know, we had Mangal Arati, we were silent. That was, I mean, there was no musical instruments. Then, you know, we could clap our hands. No amplification, just like, you know. And then it was okay. We, you know, it was okay when it was reading the deities at 7:15, we could have kirtan. But in the Mangal Arati, forget it. No sound. And one of the things that we did every day, we had a nice brahmachari ashram with a number of young devotees that would go every day from Henry Street down one of the side streets to the Bourbon Street subway stop on the F train. And then we'd go into Manhattan or all around the city and have kirtan. And then one of the best places, one of the best times to be in New York City, in Manhattan, is lunch hour, because everybody's out on the streets, like, it's really nice. So lots and lots and lots and lots of people. And then after the lunch hour, it settles down, we would come back to the temple, to Bourbon Street subway, and then have kirtan to the temple. And right across the street from us was a schoolhouse, a schoolyard, and in the schoolyard was a school. So the kids got out from school just about the same time as we were coming back from the subway, going to have lunch. Because it was like, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon, after the lunch hour in Manhattan. Maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock. So school was out. The kids would line up, and they would taunt the devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and run around and make fun. So one time when Srila Prabhupada was visiting us in New York, Trivikram Swami, who was a sannyasi at that time also, he asked Srila Prabhupada, right after morning Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada, what about this? You know, the kids in the neighborhood, besides burning the cars and throwing rocks through the window, they make fun of kirtan, Krishna's name. What about that? And Prabhupada said, oh, that's very good. And he said, why, Prabhupada? They're making fun of... They said that they're chanting Krishna's name. Because when one chants Krishna's name, you're associating with Krishna. It's not perfect way to associate with Krishna's name, but it's associating with Krishna's name. And they'll derive benefit. So we just accepted it because Prabhupada said it. Later on, it speaks like that specifically in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sixth canto. Then fast forward over so many years, and maybe 20 years later, I was flying from, I think from Chicago to New York, and it was on Northwest Airlines, so there was a stopover in Detroit. That's what happens when you fly, you go through the hub. So I got off one plane, was waiting for another plane, just standing in the hallway waiting for the boarding of the plane. And this whole group of employees come down the hall, and they're laughing and having a great time, and one of them stops right in front of me and looks at me like this. And he went, Oh, no. What do you mean, oh, no? He said, are you a Hare Krishna? And I said, yes. He said, oh, no. I didn't know what was going to happen next. And he said, I don't believe it. What do you mean you don't believe it? What's going on? And his friends kept walking, and he stopped and he said, and I'm really ashamed of myself. And, why? He said, well, I grew up in Brooklyn on Henry Street. I said, I used to live on Henry Street. He said, oh, no. He said, I was one of those kids in the neighborhood that burned the cars and threw stones through the window. And I said, really? Okay. Now I know why you're going like that. He said, but the worst thing was, you know, when you guys would come back from the subway and you'd be playing your cymbals and your drums and things, and we just wait to stand in line and make fun of you. I said, really? You were one of those kids, huh? Said, oh, yeah. But, you know, you people were always so good to everybody. You just fed people, and you never, like, you know, called the police on us. You just, like, you were good. You were good people. You always were kind to everybody. And we did all these bad things. I said, well, you know, sounds like your heart has softened and you're feeling regretful, and that's okay. I said, but you know, that melody, I never was able to get it out of my mind. I would just, like, you know, start to sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And then, you know, even today, when I was getting off of work, it just came to my mind. Hare Krishna. And you know what? All my friends, they started to laugh at me. Ha ha ha. Just like we did to you. We were really bad. So, but, you know, you've really helped a lot of people. So, please keep it up. Don't get discouraged when people do that to you and burn your cars and throw rocks at you. Or laugh at you. Don't worry about it. You're doing good work. Keep it up. So I said, okay, well, keep it up. I'm inspired. I gotta go now. My friends are waiting for me. I'm sure they're gonna laugh at me, but please forgive me for all those bad things. Okay, considered forgiven. He said, thank you very much. He just went on. So who can say what lasting spiritual benefit may come into the heart of someone who hears that wonderful sound vibration that takes one to Vrindavan? Who can say? Here's at least one soul that it stayed with him. And I'm sure that spiritual benefit is coming into his life, which would never have come into his life had we not lived in Henry Street in Brooklyn and chanted the holy name, going back and forth on the street every day. So whatever little bit that we can do, our lives are very tiny. We're little specks in this cosmos. But if we can do some spiritual shreya, acharanam, we can do something that's of ultimate spiritual benefit, however little beginning it is. Prabhupada gave this example. Banks sometimes give their customers a little piggy bank. They say, just put whatever spare change you have in the piggy bank, and after some time you can bring it in. So Prabhupada compared the Harinam Sankirtan like that. Just little bit, and after some time that there's some great value inside. And this, the little bit, even a little bit, is Shreya Uttama, or it's the utmost benefit, awakening one's remembrance of Krishna, so that the soul can be remembering Krishna and go to Krishna when the soul leaves this body. And even in this lifetime you can go to Krishna just by calling his name sincerely. So there'll be some more chanting in the temple room, and those of you that take part in the chanting, you can think about Vrindavan and becoming appreciated by Krishna, like Krishna appreciates the trees that are just giving shade and giving fruits and flowers. And whatever service you can offer, you offer that to whoever may come, as much as your capacity permits. And tell them something about Krishna. Remind them about their relationship with Krishna. Do that service, and Krishna will be very pleased with you. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. That way you can assist Lord Chaitanya in distributing the contents of the storehouse of love of God. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.